I'll try to put a couple of things that Maharaj said into a little more vernacular. That's a word that means words that we can all understand. Dhammal Krishna Maharaj lived on the edge. He lived on the edge his whole life. From the moment he met Dhammal Krishna Maharaj, his divine grace, he was living in a tree in Marin County, California. Not Prabhupada, Dhammal Krishna Maharaj. And the moment that Dhammal Krishna Maharaj saw Srila Prabhupada, he gave up everything that he was doing in an instant and followed his divine grace, along with Vishnujan Swami and another one of our God brothers, Gaur Hari. The point that Maharaj was making about the challenge that Dhammal Krishna Maharaj had in order to write a dissertation
Sorry, I'm noticing some people that should have been here.
We'll send parrots to carry them.
Okay.
They're on their way. See,
they're confirmed.
Yeah, they're gathering. I happened to be in Cambridge as Srila Gurudev was coming to the crux of his dissertation. He wanted to write a dissertation proving to the academic world that Srila Prabhupada was a theologian. Because as Maharaj put in academic language, the academic world does not accept charismatic religious teachers as theologians. They accept them as just that, charismatic religious teachers. So to write a dissertation which would be acceptable to the academic world and approved by the peer group that has to approve and challenge the dissertation in consultation with what's his name?
The supervisor?
Julius Lipner. He found out that if a charismatic religious teacher uses the scripture of his tradition in a way that can transplant it into a foreign culture, and he uses the scripture in order to do that, and arguments and so on, then they accept that level of argument or that activity as a theologian. So from that kernel of idea, as Maharaj already explained, Dhammal Krishna Maharaj was able to write a dissertation that was acceptable to the academic world. This is a breakthrough. He's always living on the edge. He's always a little bit ahead of his times. And as he mentioned also, therefore, in each phase of his spiritual career, he evoked Srila Prabhupada's trust. And I think that the culmination of that trust was when Srila Prabhupada, the last year of his life here with us, called upon Tamal Krishna Maharaj to take care of him. When he was in his most, when he needed him the most. They say a friend in need is a friend indeed. And recently, the Bhaktivedanta Archives has published recorded material of that last year that has never been available before. In the first release of the recordings of Srila Prabhupada, which was maybe 1,200 or 1,300, about around in that area, recordings, there was only 39 recordings from 1977. But now there are 386. And I highly recommend, you know, that you get them. They're available now from the archives. And many of them are not just recordings of lectures or room conversations. They just let the tape recorder run. And whatever happened to be being discussed, you know, was recorded. And during that time, so many intimate exchanges were held, and so many topics that Srila Prabhupada was captured the candid answers to so many different perplexities the devotees were having about how to spread Krishna consciousness and how to deal with opposition in so many ways, was dealt with by Srila Prabhupada in a very wonderful way. Wonderful way. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Honestly, I don't know where to start. I'm sitting next to one of my most intimate friends, and just before Srila Prabhupada left, after Tamal Krishna Maharaj left the Radhanamadar party, which I, under his guidance, was managing for some time, which was a big deal, to show you how, as Maharaj pointed out, demanding he was, while I was managing the Radhanamadar party, once a month he would call for the report, financial report. And every month he would ask me for a figure that I couldn't give him. And he would, over the telephone, this is all over the telephone. Before we had a home office, the Radhanamadar party was all managed on the road from telephone booths. It came out. There were no cell phones, no internet, no computers even, nothing. Just telephone booths and a very strong will. So, so when I couldn't give the number, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would start in, explaining how, you know, you're not listening to the super soul, and what are you doing, you fool, and so on and so forth. And I'm just listening, you know, feeling, of course, very bad. So the next month, I just rolled up my sleeves, you know, and I tried to get all the numbers I could. And sure enough, the next month, he'd ask me for a number I didn't have. And the same thing would happen. This was a cycle. It went on for a year like this. And believe me, I didn't get any pleasure from those timely comments. But I have to honestly tell you that he was so expert that the culmination of all of that, at the end of the year, he couldn't ask for a number that I didn't have. And the month before that, I actually began to feel, well, satisfaction. I actually began to feel happiness when he was getting on my case, which was something very special. Any of you who have been here who have had him get on your case, you know that's something special. So we had a very intimate relationship in that way, and it went on and on and on and on, and it culminated in this place, which Giridhar Swami Maharaj was instrumental in getting. I'll let him tell that story. Oh, maybe he has other stories to tell. Anyway. But I'd like to say one more thing about his disappearance to show you just how expert he is. I say is, because as Maharaj so nicely pointed out, Vaishnavas never die. They live in sound to spread the holy name around. It was just after Mangalarti, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had left in Mayapur. Tamal Krishna Maharaj had left for the airport. And I was sitting with Radhanath Maharaj. And then all of a sudden we heard there had been an accident. And as soon as... And everyone was there. This was right in the middle of the festival. And just at the end of the GBC meetings, everyone was there. Literally. Shivaram Maharaj, Jai Bhattaka Maharaj, Jai Dwaita Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, and others. I can't remember everyone. They all ran immediately. This was the level of devotee we're talking about. All these devotees just ran immediately. And they got in cars and they to go to the place. And Radhanath Maharaj and I were a little slower, and so by the time we got to the place where the cars were, there were no more cars. And while they were looking for cars to take us, we went to the office of Naragopal, who was managing at the time, Mayapur. At least I don't remember exactly what he was doing. Maybe the guest houses or something at that time. I don't remember. But we were sitting there in his office and Narishwar came in. Narishwar, myself, Abhiram, Giridhari Swami. We had been called into Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room 3 or 4 days before he left to discuss his future. What he was going to do with his academic degree he was to receive, and how he would use it as a preaching tool to spread Krishna consciousness again on the cutting edge. But unusually, very, very unusually, at the end of that conversation, we didn't come to a conclusion. His mind worked in such a way that whenever he called his godbrothers together, and he was always associating and asking his godbrothers, he didn't... We didn't come to a conclusion. That was very rare. He always called the right people in the room that had just the right segments of the subject that he needed to talk about. Have him mute the bell. Just mute it. Just put your finger, mute the bell. Ring it, but mute it. That was the kind of thing that he was into, you know, making sure that everything was just right. For hearing Harikatha. So there we were in complete anxiety, you can imagine, not knowing what was going on, what had happened. Girihari Maharaj came and joined us. So there were three of us and Ram and Narashwar. They were trying to get us a car. There were no cars. This is mystical. There were no cars. So many cars in Mayapur, but somehow or other they couldn't find us a car. And then we got the phone call. He had gone. He had left. We didn't believe it. Must be some kind of mistake. Not possible. Not possible. But because that was the word and the word was spreading like wildfire, we went up across to Bhaktichur Maharaj's quarters upstairs, and there Tamakrishna Maharaj's disciples had gathered, and we were supposed to speak to them, to console them, to help them keep their sanity. I couldn't do it. I couldn't speak. I was in some kind of emotional state. I couldn't speak. And Giridhara Maharaj was the same. So Radhanath Maharaj ended up taking care of your god brothers and god sisters. And Giridhari Maharaj and I went into Bhaktichur Maharaj's office to deal with the world's reaction. And each key disciple that we called, this is mystical. We didn't need an internet because each person we called had already heard. They already knew about it. This was not more than just, I don't know, an hour or two after the news. And all over the world, everyone had heard about it. And when they finally ended up bringing him to Mayapur, I don't know if you know this or not, but whole villages came out. How they knew this was incomprehensible. And they would not let the van that was carrying him pass until they got darshan of his face, not just his feet. It was something out of this world. So in the process of this moment, this intense moment, I got this very strong intuition that Tamalkrishna Maharaj wanted to be interred in Mayapur. Now everyone knew, did he? Isn't it? Everyone knew that he wanted to be interred here, right here, in Govardhan. And the last conversation I had with him, we were going to meet here and discuss certain things. And he was planning on spending more time here. This is his will. He wanted to be here. So, meantime in Dallas, So we got a phone call from Govinda Maharaj, who was there at the hospital. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Does that mean we lost electricity? Turn on the generator. Can you hear me? Can you hear? Okay. So, this was obviously a very, very intense time and a very intense moment. Govinda Maharaj called and they were preparing his transcendental form to go to Govardhan. And imagine who was there. Jayapataka Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj, and others. And they were all of the same mind because they all knew that he wanted to come and to hear when he left this world. But I had this very strong signal, intuition. I thought it was intuition at the time, that he wanted to be interred in Mayapur. So I began to talk to Govinda Maharaj to convince him to bring Tamal Krishna Maharaj's form to Mayapur. And the argument that won was, even if it ends up him going there, we will prepare here, you know, wash the body in Ganga and Ganga Jal, and then decide, and if it's the right thing, then whatever you decide, we'll do. So somehow or other, he agreed. This was mystical. So then, just at that moment, we got a phone call from Dallas, from Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir was one of the executors of Tamal Krishna Maharaj's will. Now, I'm reminding you that I'm going to explain to you just how expert Tamal Krishna Maharaj was. Okay? Yudhishthir had a fierce temper, and he was being trained by Tamal Krishna Maharaj to become a GBC. Very intelligent. He was livid. When I got on the phone, he was yelling, "How dare you change the will of my Gurudev and decide that he should come to Mayapur? He wants to go to Govardhan. You know that. You're there in Govardhan." La, 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 la. On and on. And I'm like, I'm in so much emotional anxiety that I can't even speak what to speak of, answer properly. So I gave the phone to Giridhari Maharaj. And he's a little more cool-headed than I am. So he told Yudhishthir, "Please, Yudhishthir," because he had the will in front of him. Yudhishthir had the will in front of him. He was reading it. And so Giridhari Maharaj very intelligently said, "Yudhishthir, you read it out loud, and I'm going to transcribe it as you read it. And if it's like that, we'll change the decision." Right? So he started reading. This is the truth. I don't know. In front of my worshipable Lord, most worshipable God brother, he hadn't read the last sentence of that section of the will. There was one sentence. The paragraph was this big, all about Govardhan, and you know how he was in the detail. So many details he'd written. So he got down to the last sentence, Giridhari Maharaj is transcribing, and then he says, "But if I happen by some chance to leave my body in Mayapur, I want to be interned in Mayapur." And I'm telling you, I just burst into tears, and I went into a state that lasted for at least 2 weeks, and I couldn't speak. And then I realized by that event who he was. Not everything about who he was, but one particular thing. He was not an ordinary person. He was not an ordinary person. He was a great soul. And his relationship with Srila Prabhupada was extraordinary. If you listen to those recordings, the last recordings especially, you'll hear Tamal Krishna Maharaj's voice giving loving having loving exchanges with Srila Prabhupada to make him comfortable, to alleviate him of any anxiety he had about anything. It's mystical. Maharaj was there also. And of course what do I owe to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know? He talked me into coming here and overseeing the refurbishment of this place. And during the conversation, which lasted 3 hours, don't argue with him. You'll never win. I had made up my mind after London and a whole series of management things that I was never going to imagine anything. I was going to preach and not manage. But he talked me into it. It took him 3 hours. And one of the things he told me during that three-hour conversation was, you come here and you take care of this place, I'll give you this place. And I said, Maharaj, when you tried to convince me to go to leave France and come back to America, you told me you would give me a barth, and you ended up giving me this little blue thing and sending me with Tripurari in a, you know, someplace, remote place. How am I supposed to believe you? So, I entered Vrindavan. How many days was that before? Was it a month? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
In relation to what?
The day I arrived. I'm going to tell the story about how you gave me my most intimate service to Prabhupada. Don't mind.
Don't mind. Okay, okay.
Do you remember how long that was before?
Oh. It was
maybe 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah. 3 weeks to a month. So I had a dream that Prabhupada was going to leave. I was in Kansas City, Missouri, leading up a bus party in a new preaching center. And, of course, we didn't have any money at those times. Nothing. And we had this meeting in St. Louis, in which, anyway, I won't go into that detail. It'll take too long. But it was agreed when I made my decision to come to India that only one, the word coming out of Vrindavan was changing. Everyone should come. No one should come. Only the GBC body should come. Only sannyasi should come. No one should come. It was like this every day. It was different. And then at one point when we were sitting in that meeting, the word was, only one person from each party could come. I raised my hand immediately and said, I'm going. Because I had already decided. And then Jagat Guru Maharaj stood up. Everybody said, no, you can't do that. You're needed here. You know, you manage the party, etc., etc. Tripurari and Tristadumna Maharaj were dividing the party. I didn't want to have any part thing to do with it anyway. By the mercy of Jagat Guru Maharaj, they were convinced that I went. I immediately left, went back to Kansas City, and who was then Bhakta Kenneth, who was a Bhakta, who later was to become Jai Baladev, was, I had been preaching to him. And he had come to the temple, to the preaching center. And he happened to have $1,400. And he said, I'm giving it to you. Use it for whatever you want. I said, do you mind if I use it to go out and see my spiritual master before he leaves this world? He said, no, very good. Part of the miracle. So anyway, there were other miracles that I didn't have my passport, I didn't have my driver's license, I didn't have my birth certificate. I had to get all those things within 5 days. Anyway, somehow or other we did it. In New York, I was leaving from New York. And the whole way, I prayed to Srila Prabhupada for some personal service. I'd never done any personal body service. And more than 30 hours, I prayed constantly. I was chanting Hare Krishna, but in my mind I was praying like this. Right? Finally, I got to Vrindavan. From the train station on a tanga, like we used to do, before there was any of those skyscrapers and all those strange things. Just bing, ding, 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 ding. All the way from Mathura to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And I went to take bath, and I came in, it was early in the morning, and there were two people in the room. Bhakti Chu Maharaj and His Holiness Giridhar Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in the servants' quarters right next door. And again, I'm explaining to you how intimate, how expert Tamal Krishna Maharaj was, and how intimate a disciple of Srila Prabhupada he was. He didn't know I arrived. He didn't even know I was coming. So I came in, I paid my obeisances. It was dark. and took a little time for my eyes to adjust to the light. When I saw Prabhupada, I was devastated. Bhakti Chu Maharaj was at the head of Srimad Prabhupada's bed, doing something with the medicine. Giriraj Maharaj was massaging Srimad Prabhupada's lotus feet. Sure enough, within 30 seconds of me sitting up, Tamal Krishna Maharaj called Bhakti Chu Maharaj into his office. Something about the medicine. And it was just me and Giriraj Maharaj in the room with Prabhupada, in the most intimate moment you could imagine. Sure enough, within another minute, Tamal Krishna Maharaj called Giriraj Maharaj into the office. And Giriraj Maharaj went like this. I went like this. I thought somebody else had entered the room behind me. There was no one. He was talking to me. I went over, sit next to him, and he said, "You have to massage Prabhupada's lotus feet now." I said, "Maharaj." So I did that, poured out my heart, and from that day on, Giriraj Maharaj and I were intimately linked in service to Srila Prabhupada and personally. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj cemented his place in my heart, even though I never showed it properly. He was always a little disturbed about that. I'm still as rebellious as ever. Hare Krishna. Fiercely independent as ever. But I don't know what more to say than that, except that I know in a very personal way just how deep Tamal Krishna Maharaj was. What an intimate disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I mean of Srila Prabhupada, he was, and what a dear friend to us